Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Talk with Taj, bringing you the best in celebrity interviews from NY to LA. And my guest tonight, a stranger to stardom, releasing his new book in my sister's house and backed by powerful celebrities like Kenny Lattimore, actor Will Smith, Don Williams, and Vanessa Calloway. It is no doubt Mr. Donald Welch is on his way to the top. And he's here to talk about his new book, In My Sister's House. Let's welcome Mr. Donald Welch to Talk with Taj. How you doing?
Hey, Taj. How you doing, man?
Oh, we doing good, brother. How's everything going out there?
Well, you know, it's been a trying day, but you know what? You got to keep moving and keep going on. You know, we're dealing with some little weather situations here, and then I got some people flying in for a show back from Philly area into L.A., and they're talking about another 6 to 12 inches in Philly. So they did get on the flight, and everything seems to be pretty cool.
Well, you know what? I feel your pain. I'm out here in Indianapolis, and
My sister's in Indianapolis, and I, you know what? And I don't even know how is the weather there where you are.
The weather's not too bad. We probably have we still have some snow left over from a recent snowstorm, and now
okay.
We just got some more snow tonight. But it's nothing compared to what you're facing out there in Philly. So I sympathize with
right,
you.
Right, right. Well, I'm in LA right now. They had to cancel postpone my East Coast book signings until March because of the snow. But I'm still in LA, and so I kind of lucked out. All we got right now is a little rain.
You know what? I was just in LA this past weekend. I was there for an event called I was there for an event called LA Nights in Beverly Hills at the Candom House, and I was there for a few days. That was my first time in LA. I had an excellent time, and I'm going back either in March or April. So it was like 60 degrees, cloudy, but it was I still had a good time in LA.
Well, cool. You gotta look me up. But you know when you come back the next time. But actually, that was relatively cool because I think just a week or so before that, we were in the 80s and 90s. I'm out in the valley part of LA, like in Studio City area, and I think one day we were 93 when people back home in Philly and New York were telling me that they were like 12 below almost. So you came out during a time when it wasn't. When it wasn't as warm, but at least it still was. You still had a pretty cool time.
Yeah, and it's funny because when I came back home, everybody asking me about Venice Beach. And, you didn't go to the beach? I'm like, no, I wasn't out there for that. You didn't go to the beach? I'm like, look, the weather was not.
Right.
Wouldn't cut out for that. I said, when I go back next time, I'll go to Venice Beach and bring back all the pictures. But everybody was kept. That's the only thing they asked me about. They didn't ask me about nothing else. Everybody just wanted to know about
nothing else. It's Venice Beach, huh?
Now, you grew up, speaking of Philadelphia, that's, you know, your hometown. You grew up there, and you made a transition to L.A. First, tell me about growing up in Philly. Of course, we all know that, you know, good films with Will Smith, so we got to see who's the king of Philly real quick, and then tell me the motivation that led you to move out to L.A.
You know, actually, first of all, my time in Philadelphia was wonderful. I mean, I still consider Philly home. L.A. is my home because of where I'm at, but I think I have two homes, and Philly is definitely will always be home for me. It's where my family, my friends growing up there, and it was a great time. I mean, I go back at least 4 to 5 times a year, But my motivation actually to move to Los Angeles really was Will, because he had already been out here for a while doing this thing, already was a national success, and he knew how well I was doing on the East Coast with stuff. And he said, you know, whenever you you want to make that transition and you're thinking about making it, you know, let me know and, you know, we'll see what we can do. So, you know, the bottom line is that I actually came out when it was really, really, I thought it was the best time for me. And when I look back now on the 9 years that I've been here, it was the best move I could have ever made for my career and my life.
Wow. And that's what I'm looking for in myself in moving to L.A.
Uh-huh.
That's why I'm going out there, trying to make that decision for also for myself. So I'm glad you said that.
You know what, Taj? And it's best to come out here and spend a little time, because L.A. really isn't for everyone. And probably if I wasn't doing what I'm doing in terms of the whole entertainment thing, writing, directing, producing, you know, and then doing the books, I probably wouldn't be in L.A. I like L.A., don't get me wrong, but I'm saying it's just the fact that it's a town that if you're coming here for the industry, you really got to do a little bit of investigation for yourself. Because basically, you know, it's a lot of people saying, hey, I'm out here trying to get noticed to do what I do. And it's a lot of competition and all that kind of thing, which is no problem. But it's just not a town. I've had friends come and visit that said, okay, I can visit here, but I don't really want to live here. It's not for everybody. And I tell a lot of the actors that work for me, you know, they come out here, I say, listen, for every bus that comes through town with some wide-eyed hopeful, there's two going back. So you got to really be prepared. You got to really understand what this is a different animal out here, really. But it's a wonderful place too, but it's a different animal.
Yeah, I was in Hollywood. I was walking on the Walk of Fame, and
uh-huh.
That whole strip, all you saw was people out there just really hustling hard and really trying. You could just really see the grind in everybody that was
right
out there. With so much competition just on that one strip alone.
Mm-hmm,
you know, you can
mm-hmm.
definitely I feel what you're saying on that.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. You know, but if you got it in you, you know, and you really want to, you know, you might come out here and just say, hey, this is exactly where I belong.
Yeah, I like it. It's for me. I don't know if I will live there, but, you know, as far as entertainment scene, I mean, that's been me my whole life, you know, so we'll definitely
okay.
see how that works out. But your inspiration, you know, you wear a lot of hats, brother. You wear
yeah,
a lot of hats.
I try to.
Well, I want to know, as far as this book is concerned, what inspired you to start just writing books and going into that field? Of it, and what keeps you going as far as, because I could tell you kind of talk to the ladies a little bit.
Yeah, well let me start back from that. It really okay because I stumbled into the writing novels and the whole female the whole women's fiction and female. Let me tell you. I had been known for writing, directing, and producing stage plays. I had done some acting on some sitcoms. I still love that. I just haven't had a chance to get back to it. I'm in a position where if I want to be in a film or I want to do some television, I can actually get a role doing that. I know that. But it was something in me that wanted to write and direct my own work, my own stage plays and things. And so I started to do that. And back in Philly, actually. And had a really big, successful following on the East Coast. So when I moved out here and I was writing the plays, I wrote a play called The Bachelor Party, the male version, a guy getting married, his buddies throwing him a bachelor party, and a lot of stuff go on in the night and things happen and stuff. So it was all that, and it was a hit. It was a hit in L.A. And women were coming up to me all the time saying, okay, well, when are you going to tell the female side of it? You know, we got a lot of things we can say. We have, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't even know if I can do that, okay, effectively.
Right.
Because as we know, sisters will gather you up at intermission and have their hand on their hip. Like, that is not what we talk about. So I wrote The Bachelorette Party, the female version, and it actually became even a larger hit than The Bachelor Party. I mean, sisters was like rallying around me, like, thank you for writing something that not only uplifted women, especially African American women, but told their side of it. Now, the surprising thing to me was that it was that it not only did it become a hit with women, but men came out thinking at first. Men stayed away first, thinking that, oh, this is a chick flip type thing. And so the women were, like, forcing their boyfriends and their husbands to come out. And then they would say to me, as a man, I'm glad I came. I not only did I learn something, it was really entertaining. I got the story. So that's when the people like Will came to see it, because he had saw the bachelor party. And then Will came to see the bachelorette party, and he said, man, what do you want to do with this? Because this is really hot. And I said, well, I really kind of want to take it on the road and you know, get. He said, Don, how were you able to capture the female voice so well? And he was like, man, some of the stuff you're saying is so deep, but so relevant, but so weird. And I said, well, one of the things I've always prided myself in is actually listening to women. I mean, you know, just listening to what they have to say and sort of, and I wanted to write something, Taj, that women could be proud of, you know, not just any old thing, because we can go to a stage play or a movie and we see a million times how African American women, Hispanic women are being portrayed in a very, very negative or stereotypical way. I didn't want that. So I was very happy that it happened. So to make a long story longer, because you know I'm long-winded, so I don't know, you might got the wrong one on this show tonight. But Will actually loved it enough that he got behind it as a co-producer, and it went on the road. And then I was approached by Random House Publishers in New York to see whether or not I had a desire to turn it into a novel. So with all that happening, the Bachelorette Party became a novel, and I was offered a 2-book deal from Random House, and the first book being The Bachelorette Party, and the second one being In My Sister's House. So it's been a wonderful transition into writing novels. It wasn't the easiest thing for me, because I'm used to writing screenplays and stage plays. So, but I got it now. They can give me another deal now.
Now you. You kind of answered like 5 of my questions in one speech.
I probably did. I'm sorry about that.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. I don't know if you're in for it tonight, Taj, because I'll be rambling on trying to get all of it out so that I can make sure that I cover all bases. So when you need me to stop, you'll be like, Don, hold on, and I'll be all right.
Well, you know, I'm good enough to actually take what you say and come back with a rebuttal question, which is going to fit exactly what you just mentioned. So don't worry, okay. I got it. I'm good enough for
that. Okay.
For everybody listening, go to the official website, www.donzwelchproductions.com, and you can purchase all the reading materials. They have videos, they have a store on there. Everything that you need is right there at the official website, www.donzwelchproductions.com. Now, speaking of the Bachelorette, how was you able to catch the female side of it more than actually the male side? What caught people's attention so much in that particular versus the male side of it?
Well, I think because I'm a male, that the bachelor party came so much easier, because I was talking about myself, buddies, and friends. So that was kind of easy to write. And because I knew that the challenge was going to be the Bachelorette Party with the female version of it, I really probably put more time and energy into it, more meeting up with different sisters and friends, talking and hearing what they had to say, taking things from my own relationships in the past or whatever, and really, really digging into that. You know, it's like when I wrote another show called The Divorce, and it started, The Divorce stars Vanessa Bell Calloway, Dawn Lewis, Tatiana Ali, Amanda Lewis, Freda Payne, Dorian Wilson. One of the things that they asked on the road was they asked, how do you get that? And Vanessa Bell Calloway answered it, I think, the most prolific way. She said, Don just listens. He gets us. He listens to us. So if that's what it is, and that's, you know, but it was hard work for me because I was speaking from a male point of view, but I had to take myself out and be open enough to listen to what these sisters had to say and what they wanted to talk about for me to be able to put it together in a stage play. And it'd be effective, you know what I mean? You know, not a mockery or anything. It'd just be effective.
Well, you know, I haven't gotten a chance to read it, but I've read up on it, you know what I mean? So I definitely...
What, the Bachelorette Party or In My Sister's House?
Yeah, the Bachelorette Party, and I read about what the in my sister's house was about. So I haven't got a chance to actually physically read them because we did this, you know, we got this together pretty quickly. But me, honestly, reading about it, I kind of got an idea, okay, these books obviously have a depiction in them that everybody's gravitating to. So when I'm going to actually order the books so I can sit down and be a part of the whole, yeah, this book is tight club too. You know what I'm saying? So when communicating, I'm going to ask this last question, we're going to go to a quick break. But when communicating with females, and I feel like I'm very good at that myself, because I have nothing but female cousins and an older sister, and you know, so I listen to them. I learn, I listen. I have a lot of female friends, so I listen to what they say, how they talk about men and so forth. So you learn by paying attention to them. But in this particular book, The Bachelorette, when did you know you had it? At what point when you was writing this whole book out? What point was you at? Well, you know what? I got it. This is it.
I think with the Bachelorette Party, when I finished the script for the stage play, and I had all the actresses over to my place, and we sat around, I said, girls, I think this is going to be a hit. I said, I'm just feeling that way. And when they finished reading the script, they looked up like, wow, this is going to be hot. So when I did the book version of it, that was the challenge to me, because when you write a book, you have to be a novel. You have to be extremely descriptive. And so, you know, I wasn't used to breaking it down that far, because basically with a movie or TV or stage, it's more visual and you're able to see things. But when you're writing a novel, there's no pictures. So the people who are sitting at home reading your book, or wherever they are reading your book, they need to get a mental picture of what you're talking about. So that was the challenge for me with The Bachelorette Party. But I knew that it was going to be a good book when I finished it, and I had so many women with thumbs up saying this is great and wonderful, which will probably be a segue into in my sister's house, because I'm so much prouder of this book, because I've learned a lot in the year and a half or 2 years since I wrote The Bachelorette Party. I think, believe it or not, I think In My Sister's House is a better novel for me. I was able to really take time and take about 4 to 6 months with no other pressure and write this book and detail it, whereas with The Bachelorette Party, I was in the midst of 2 national tours. So I was actually writing in hotel rooms, end of the night, writing on the plane and different things like that, because I had to meet my deadline. But within My Sister's House, it was more, I felt that I had more time. And also, I learned a lot about structuring a novel and really getting it to the point that, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to read it, because it is a page-turner. One thing I don't do any man bashing. I'm a man. I ain't doing that. I tell the truth on both sides of the coin. But it's a page-turner. It's one of those books that people have already hitting me up on my Facebook and the website, and they're saying, you need a sequel to this. I loved it. I'm thinking, hey, this got released. Enjoy it for a minute. I don't know whether or not I can write another one right now. But I think that all that just goes in with just the learning.
I got a text message from a friend who just told me that she was going to buy your book yesterday, as a matter of fact, and now she says she's definitely about to go pick it up. She's actually listening to the show right now.
Please thank her. Thank her. Please thank her. Because she's, you know what, and tell her to write me when she's done and tell me what she really feels.
Now, can she write you from the official website?
Yes, she can. Yep, she can. And also, I'm on Facebook. But yes, she can go to DonBWatchProductions.com, and then there's a link. And when you send that, it'll come right to me.
All right, we're going to come right back with Donald Welch. All right, y'all hear that, ladies? The Bachelorette. Y'all must go get that book, and we're also going
to
get it.
No, get that book, Taj, but the one we really want them to get is In My Sister's House. That's the new one.
Are we going to that next? We're going to that next. We just have to deal.
Because they're mad at me now.
Nah, they're going to be mad. We're definitely going to get to that coming right back.
Okay.
I want people to understand what you put for those who are still learning who Donald Welch is. I need to let them know about the past so we can get to the present.
Well, you too. That's
brother.
True. Well, let me let you go ahead and run your show, Taj.
You all right. We're going to come right back. Here's Marvin King with Next to You right here on Talk with Taj.
Okay.
Cool. she going to work. I'm not very shy, I'm only checking out your pay. Before I invade your space, if you didn't have no girlfriend, always with those friends.
Talk with Taj, and that was Marvin King with To You. She was just performed at LA Nights in Beverly Hills this past weekend, and definitely she's an artist that I enjoy a lot. Also visit the official website, talkwithtaj.com, all for the latest interviews, pictures, what have you. Everything is right there, talkwithtaj.com. But right now it's all about Donald Welch and his notebook in my sister's house. That's what it's all about. Yeah. Donald, you there?
I mean, I'm here, yeah. I didn't want to interrupt you.
I'm feeling you out. You know, at first, you know, you was right behind me. Now, you kind of...
I was thinking to myself, okay, let me chill out and let this man do his show. And when he needs me to talk, he's going to tell me to talk.
You know what? You know, when a lot of people... Let me give you a real quick rundown. On Talk with Taj, man, a lot of guests such as yourself who enjoyed just speaking, that's what I love about my guests. You come on there, you want to have something to get out, you get it out. I don't mind you being long-winded. Trust me, if I need to stop, I will stop you, but that's what the people need. It's not about me tonight. It's about you and your book. So people need all the information that they can get from you. So don't feel... Yeah, you can't feel ashamed. People who come on my show, they love coming on the show because they can get a chance to vent and talk and relax and chill and be themselves and just talk. So don't feel ashamed. Don't feel like you can't, you know, go ahead and be long with them. I'm not. We're here as long as you can be here. I don't have nothing else to do.
Okay.
This is my show. My night is over. My night is to the show right now, so I don't have nothing else to do.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good. Cool.
Let's go. Let's get into In My Sister's House, okay? From what I understood about that was, I'll let you go ahead and explain it. It was about two twins, okay? Then I'm going to
let you tell. Yeah, it's about a set of twins. Yeah, it takes place in Philly. All my novels, well, I should say all, but the two of them, the backdrop is Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia. And these two sisters, they're twins, and they are identical twins. And but they couldn't be. They're nothing alike in any way as whatsoever, except for how the way they look, and sort of like one took the sort of like the road down the right path, and the other one did not. And there's a reason for that, which is kind of hidden in the book. It's a whodunit. It's a murder mystery. You're gonna laugh. You're gonna cry. Hopefully, at certain things, you're gonna be entertained, and you'll get through the book hopefully with a message that I'm trying to give at the end of the book, but throughout. And that is just the true sisterhood and friendship and loyalty. I'm really big in my life on loyalty and respect, and I think that a lot of times there's a breakdown of that even within families. So these two sisters are. You know, they're in their 20s and they're experiencing some life, and even though it's basically geared toward basically the stories on these two sisters, there's a colorful characters of array of characters, supporting characters that are in their lives that we get a chance to follow along with their life and the things that go on daily in their lives in the year 2009 and 10 and stuff like that. So it really is a story, I think, of just these two who lose somewhere along the way. They've lost the bond of sisterhood and togetherness and friendship and family, and we see whether or not they make themselves back to that and what that takes and who helps them along the way. And like I said, there's some things in there that when you read it, you will probably say, I did not just read that. And you'll close the book, laugh, and go back to it again. You know, because I love to laugh, and I think it's wonderful. So even though we have all that stuff going on in there, I you never lose sight of what the story really is about. You know, it really does tell this wonderful story of these two sisters. And believe me, with the people that are around them in the community, in the neighborhood, in their lives, their best friends, their love interests, you will know some of these people. You will think, you may not know their particular names of these characters, but you will know people because I write about real people and the real experience that of life. And so I think everybody's in for a treat.
Okay. I have a message that I was told to deliver to you.
You might want to put hold on, Todd. Hold on. Now, before you tell me that message, if it's something crazy, you might want to put me on hold, put the people on hold, and then come and tell me. Come and tell me, because it could be anything.
No, it was just Anita being silly. She was just telling you to slow down and exhale.
I don't even know who that is, but go ahead. No, I don't. You know, when I get listen, you know what happens? When I start to talk about the things that I am passionate about, you know, whether it is the performing end of it, the writing, directing, producing, I want you to feel the same excitement. So it's not that I'm trying to make myself go that way. It's the way it is, and that's the way I talk. I want you to be as excited about what I'm writing about, or directing, or producing, so that you'll be, hey, I really want to read this book, because I'm not giving you a hard sell. I'm not going to sit up here and feed you a lot of bull to sell a book. I'm not going to do it. I think that it is a really, really fun read, and that everybody should go out and get it, whether male or female. Go get the book. It's a great book. And if I'm sound excited about it, then I want you to feel the same way when you read it.
So definitely, I'm going to read it. And I've been getting text messages about this conversation right now. People are telling me already they're going to the site and getting the book right now.
Yeah, and you know what, Taj? Before I forget, it's available, Taj. At all Barnes & Nobles, Borders, Walmart, Amazon.com, there's also randomhouse.com. You can go through all of those links, because if you go to my website, it'll put you right to Random House. But you can go to any Barnes & Noble, the Borders, or Walmart, and I know that they're carrying it in Barnes & Noble and Borders, because a lot of the bookstore signs that I'm going to are there. Or you can go right to Amazon.com. But I want to ask your guests that if they do get it and they like it or whatever, or they don't like it, I hope they like it, that they just put a comment, you know, behind it wherever they're going to get the book, because it really does help spread the word. We've got a couple of book clubs that are picking it up, so I'm happy about that.
Well, I tell you what, I know a lot of book readers. I mean, people who read like 10 books a week. You know
wow.
what I mean? So definitely, yeah, I know people like that. And I'm not what you would call a huge reader, but if I find something that is a page turner, like they have books like that that would just pay and I couldn't stop reading, trust me, brother, I will let you know, because if you can keep my attention on a book, I'm a movie person. I'm a movie man, you know what I mean? But if you can keep my attention
right.
You have done your job.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm up for the challenge, because from what I've been hearing so far, people are saying, sending me little emails and notes saying, you make me sick. And I'm like, what did I do? I have to go to work in the morning, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm still trying to get through part of this book. I can't put it down. Well, that's a compliment. It's like the ultimate compliment that you can get. You know, so, hey, I want you to tell me exactly what you're feeling. Be honest about it. I want everybody to be honest about it and just tell me, because I think that they'll love it.
You can go to the official website, www.DonDWelchProductions.com. As you just heard, it's available at Walmart. And if you live in my city, you know there's about 10 Walmarts all over the city. So you can't say, well, I have no way to get this book. There's a Walmart in every block.
Right.
So go to Walmart. Go to Barnes & Nobles. There's a few of them in our city as well. And definitely go pick up in my sister's house, and also go pick up The Bachelorette Party for all the ladies out there who want to know how he speaks about a woman's point of view from a man's side of it. Right.
But don't keep the brothers away, because I tell you what, Taj, I had a couple guys say, man, you know, I read that book, and I got another, I'm going home, and let's just say things are a little different. So I don't want brothers to stay away, because.
I want you to explain something real quick, because I had to explain this to some people at a nightclub one night who didn't understand exactly what I'm saying. There is a huge breakdown in communication between men and women these days. A lot of men do not know how to communicate verbally to a female.
Right.
They have lost the ability to do that. You have shown men, the men that have read your book, how to do that. And how would you be able to accomplish that? And what message would you have for men who are having a tough time communicating with women?
Well, I think it goes back to what I told you like earlier, and that is really about listening. A lot of times, you know, that was the problem with the bachelor party. You saw the bachelor party, the male version. Like, guys sit around and they're talking about things or whatever. A lot of times, guys will keep certain things in from their female, from their girls, because they think that they can't show too much emotion or vulnerability because it says that they're weak. Well, I think that's the complete opposite. I think that if you're able to be this brother who can show your vulnerable side as well as emotional side to your mate, she will appreciate you more. She will be able to open up more and tell you, because, you know, one of the things we always hear is when a sister say, you don't talk to me, you don't communicate. And you know what? The sad part about that, too, but here's the thing. The sad part about that is 9 out of 10 times, that's true. Now, it sometimes it may very well be the sister's fault. It may be the way she's communicating with the brother, with us. However, it is a conscious effort that must be taken between the two. And I think a lot of times we don't do enough listening. If your woman is coming to you and she want to talk to you about what's going on in her life and you watching the game, well, you know damn well that you ain't really hearing what she say. So you got to say to her, let me watch the game and then we can talk, or you got to put the game on mute and talk to her. Because if you don't, and she told you something that she needs you to do or take care of and you haven't done it, and then later on when she rolls her eyes and roll over and you said, what's the matter? And she's like, you should have thought about that when I was telling you, then you wouldn't have that issue. So the thing is, you got to understand, it's about listening. It's about just hearing her out. And she got to do the same thing. She got to hear you out, too. It's not a one-way street. But I think that's the key. It's about really listening and getting it. A lot of, and I'm not talking about the ones who, because, you know, there's some nagging that goes along sometimes, too. But I think what I found out by talking to women around the country is that a lot of times the nagging probably comes from the fact that you ain't really been listening when I'm trying to tell you something. They're saying, you know, when they're saying, I just want to get your ear for a second. I don't understand what's going on or whatever. They turn the blind. We always argue. It doesn't have to be an argument if it's a conversation. if there's communication.
Right.
It's about listening, and you got to do it on both.
I tell you what.
Now,
you have a brand new fan, because she is texting me while this show is going, and she listens to everything you're saying, and she is like saluting you to the fullest.
Wow.
That's the thing.
I mean, I think a lot of times, you know, but on the other hand, you know, our sisters have to be like, all right, I know Sunday is his game day, so I'm not going to wait for Sunday to drop all this. Oh, you ready?
Right.
I ain't going to wait. Is this a religious show, too?
No. I mean, I'm...
Sometimes I just say things when it comes to me. It just comes to me. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, you know,
just
sometimes
say
you can't...
In a way, I can understand what you're saying if you kind of... You know, I can read between the lines.
I don't really go there, but I do so many of these interviews, I forget, like, sometimes, like, which ones, certain things just slip out my mouth. But I'm going to say this. You have to also understand on the other end of that if you know Sunday is his game day, why are you going to wait till Sunday to come through all the heavy stuff about what's going on in the house, your life, I don't understand you. Okay, fine. Then do that on Saturday or Friday, whatever. Same thing is when she getting ready to go to the beauty shop or the beauty salon to get her hair and her nails, everything done. You don't, as a brother, you got to also understand that's going to take her all day. That's just her thing. So once again, it's about the communication and the listening. And when you do that, it may not be 100% wonderful and great all the time, nowhere near that, but the understanding of the communication part is right there. And I think brothers need to do a little bit more of listening.
I think I just gave you another idea for a book.
Okay, all right, okay.
I can see a book coming out right now called Communication, something along that line.
Communication.
You know.
And,
yes,
and that's really, you know, that's really it. Because basically, women, you know, and I say this all the time, even when I'm speaking, when there's African American women, Hispanic women, Caucasian women, I have never shied away from saying that to me, the black woman is the strongest on this earth because of all that she's had to deal with from day one. Now, I'm not talking about a sister that's saying that she had to carry a brother. No, I'm talking about a sister that was walking around back in our forefathers' times where they've had to, listen, nurse somebody else's baby, okay, and do the washing, and do... Sisters have a hard time as it is in this world. So as an African-American and a Hispanic male that I am, my thing is this. It is my job to uplift and tell the right story. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have an argument or a problem with whoever I'm dating at the time, but the fact of the matter is you got to understand that black women are the salt of this earth. They have had to endure a whole lot, you know, and still are not really where they should be. So when I see a lot of these different TV shows and books and television films and all that, I know it's an audience for everything. I realize that. But I'm just a little bit tired of how they're being depicted. So I can do, so instead of just talking about it, I got to write something about it and change it on my end as much as I can. I know that's not what we talked about, but that's where I had to go.
It's all right, man. I told this team, but this is what happens on my show. People get to, they just go and they let it flow, and then they're happy at the end of the show because they got a chance to let it all out. That's what happens.
Right.
I'm used to that. But you know,
okay,
real quick, we got 20 minutes left, and I definitely want to get more. I want to get more into in my sister's house before we get off the show. But you know, if you are looking for some up and coming actors, extras, you know, I am available. You know. I am available.
Okay, all right. I do a lot of, you know, my company, WS Productions, and my co-producer, Claire Thomas, you know, we hire a lot of actors in the Los Angeles area, especially actors of color, because as we know, you can turn on television and there's out of, 200 shows that are on TV, the networks, you may see one, two, maybe three that are geared towards an African-American audience or has an African-American cast. And so a lot of actors in Hollywood and L.A., they're walking around kicking cans. Like, hey, I need to work. So what we do is try to put them in quality productions on the stage. Oftentimes, a lot of actors who have worked for me have gone on to television and films because the people that I generate to come see them on stage or in the shows are people in the industry who normally would not get an opportunity to see these actors, because you know when they give a brother a line on a TV show, he got one or two lines and that's it. Sister got one word. Right. She said, good morning, here's some coffee, and she's gone. So,
right.
So I mean, that, you know, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, you look at the dramas. There's still not one African-American drama that's on television. I think the one that was there was just canceled after four seasons, and that's Lincoln Heights. Well, how many people really watched Lincoln Heights? They should have if they knew about it, because it was a great family show on ABC Family that dealt with an African-American family. Why can't we have a black or Hispanic or even an Asian? I'm not an Asian, but when you look at television, blacks or African Americans on a whole do more consumer buying when it comes to product than anybody else in this country. Yet we turn on television or we go in the bookstore sometimes, we can't find ourselves. So why is that? Or we go to the movies, there's not too many films that show us in a positive light. So I'm only one person, but we can try to do that. There are a lot of actors we give work to, and not just in Los Angeles, in Philadelphia also. Whenever we're doing something, we hold open calls. I have seen 500 line up to come and see us to audition at a time just to get a particular role, because that's just how difficult it is out here for the acting.
Now, I want to bring you back for a whole another type of show after this, after what you just said, because I have my own thoughts and questions about New Hollywood.
Okay.
You know, that's why I call it the New Hollywood.
Well, you know, I call it Holly Weird.
I call it the New Holly because I miss, that's a whole another topic. That's a whole another show. We had to bring you back for another one. In my sister's house. Okay. Tell us. Give us a little sneak peek of some things that's in the book, maybe a chapter that sticks out to you, one of your favorite chapters or one of your favorite writing moments in that book that we should be looking out for in My Sister's House.
Well, if you want me to be completely honest, and I think you do, every chapter sticks out. So
you gotta have faith.
I can only tell you that the story is, to me, I had such a fun It's a fun time writing it, and really get. You see, here's the funny thing about writing novels. You'll say in your mind, okay, tomorrow I'm going to write on this sister's character right here. Let's say the both of the twins, their names are Skylar and Storm. Let's say I'm writing on Skylar, and my whole day is going to be dealing with her character. Well, you know, when you really get into writing your books and you're writing these stories, people start bothering you. Now, it sounds like it's some crazy shit to say that, but I'm going to tell you something. People start bothering you. Other characters want to tap you on the shoulder and be like, hey, listen, I want to talk. I got something I want to say. And you literally have to put your pen down and start giving them some attention. So I had a wonderful time writing this book because some of these people, I really know them in my head, in my life. And so I think all the chapters out because it is an ongoing flow of this wonderful story that you're going to, I'm telling you, your emotions are going to go from laughing to crying to being upset, being happy, you know, and to be unbelievable, because there is some stuff. And I hope to get you a little bit unnerved, because I don't like cookie cutter stuff. You know, I don't just write stuff and it's a wonderful bow at the end of it. No, no. I'm telling it like life is.
And life ain't all about
a bow.
And that's what I was getting ready to ask you. Is there a happy ending? You know, everybody loves happy endings. Is there a happy ending at the end of this story?
I'm not going to tell you that because then they'll know. But I can tell you this. Some people will read the book and come away and say, wow, what a wonderful ending. And some people will come away, read the book, and say, I'm pissed off because I wanted this to happen and that to happen. And that, and isn't that what we really want? Don't we want to cross the bored feelings of different feelings of coming off the book. So, yeah, you know, is it a happy ending?
Have you gotten the response yet of, like, is that it? That's it?
Yes.
You know, I see most people like that.
Well, you know, I didn't get it with the back. What I got with the Bachelorette Party was, oh, this is a really good book, and you know, I want to see it as a movie, and I like it. With my sister's in my sister's house, what I've been given so far is people saying, I don't want it to end. I want to know more about this story. I want to know what happened to so and so, or why did this happen to? I had somebody tell me 2 days ago that they read it and that they were also going to read it again. They were also going to read it again. So I mean, you know, I mean, I get it like that. You know, I think that there's a whole lot in the story that excuse me, that's really bad.
What are you
hold on 1 second, Tyler? Don't leave me. I ain't gonna leave you. A lot of stuff's going on over here.
I'm gonna buzz you in.
Okay. You see what's happening? I had another.
Yes.
Hey, look. You know what? You told me this was live, right?
Right.
Okay. So you know all the stuff that's going on. But go ahead. Nothing's gonna happen to our interview. I just wanted to hit the buzzer real quick. But that's basically what it is. I mean, it really is about this for me. Every chapter, and it's something that you can get out of it. I can't wait to hear some of your listeners what they're going to come away with and what they feel.
Definitely, I want everybody who actually who goes out and purchases this book to go on www.donvwelchproductions.com and you can also find Donald Welch. Is it Don Welch or Donald Welch on Facebook?
On Facebook is Donald Welch, and let them know it's like Welch's Great Drink, WELCH, not SH.
Yeah. You can go on Facebook and leave them a message after you're done reading the book, all right? You can go to Walmart and Barnes & Noble. If you're in the Indianapolis area, you know there's plenty of them stores.
That's right.
All over the city. There's no excuse. Or you can go on Amazon.com. If you don't feel like leaving the house, you can go on Amazon.com, or you can go to the official website and buy the book, all right? So, everybody, Bachelorette Party. But the main book in my sister's house.
The main book. In My
That's
Sister's House. Because you know what? That's a movie in their time. That's a movie. In My Sister's House is a movie. I need somebody to buy the film rights to that like they bought the film rights to the Bachelorette Party.
If you're coming to the Midwest area, you might want to stop through this area because I know, I'm telling you, this is a book reading town. And like I told you, I know people who go through 10 books a week, no problem.
Wow.
And so definitely think about the Midwest when you're out promoting.
I definitely will. There's a theater in your town that I was supposed to come to a couple of years ago. It's called the Madam C.J.
Walker
Theater. So I do know about the area. I would love to be able to come to Indianapolis and maybe do a book signing and talk to some folks because that's what it's really about. You know, it's about getting it, especially for people who love read. And right now, with all the stuff going on in the world, you really want to get a little bit of escapism. You want to read a book that's going to keep you entertained, you know, and keep you happy. And just, you know, the key word is entertained, but also come away knowing why you're laughing, knowing why you're crying, getting something behind it. That's what's important.
Now, before we finish up here, we got like 10 minutes to go. Is there a message that you want to get out to the people about Donald Welch, about your writing, about your directing, about the new book? What message you want to get out to people at the end of this show about the book or anything else?
Aside from the fact that I'm crazy, which I love that part of me too, I can probably tell your listeners that I'm the truth. At least I believe I'm the kind of person, Ty, you can't come up to me if you say, hey, Don, you like this suit I have on? And if I look at you, Ty, you got on some suit that looked like it belonged with somebody that was 12 years old, I'm going to say, Ty, take that off. It looks crazy. You look like somebody's 12-year-old suit. Now, you might get upset with me, but you asked me for the truth. I'm not going to come right out and just hurt anybody's feelings. I'm about the truth and about uplifting our people in terms of especially how our women are being, once again, depicted. So if you want to know something about me, I love to laugh. I love to be funny and have a great time. But I also am about making sure that we stay in the forefront of our lives with positivity of what we can do as a people. And that's without getting all preachy, because on the spiritual side, I'm there. I have a connection with God that a lot of people probably wouldn't even understand, you know, just because I know where I am and where I came from and where I'm going. So that's my thing. And if you have anybody, listen, I think everybody has a book in them. You got a lot of listeners who probably have bestsellers right in their brains, in their minds. You got to sit down and write what you want to write, write what you feel. You can't say stuff like, well, I don't know how to do a novel. Well, you know, you can hire somebody to help you with structure, but if you write, you want to tell some kind of story, whether it's your story or something that you you developed yourself that you want to share, you just got to write. You got to write it all down and get it, because I believe that each and every one of us along the way has a book within us. We don't have a lot of encouragement of people who want us to keep, who want to help us.
Not to cut you off, we got like a few minutes left here. I want to make sure we get out the rest of this information.
Okay.
For this show and previous shows, www.talkwithtaj.com. Also for Donald Welch, go to www.donaldbwelchproductions.com and you can purchase the books right now. Go to your local Walmart stores or Barnes & Nobles. Is there any, what are you doing as far as tour-wise right now for as far as book signing?
Well, I just finished doing Los Angeles, and because I was doing the East Coast, and of course it got snowed out. Now we're scheduled to go back on the East Coast. I think the first was March 17th in Philly. But L.A. was just a complete sellout. They ran out of books. The bookstore was amazed because it was so many people. That I have a lot of support. You know, you can't forget the love and support that you have from people that really enjoy what you do. So basically, when they add back the East Coast, I'm not sure outside of Philly and maybe New York and D.C. I'll tell you what happens, and the reason is because a lot of areas may have book signings, but the thing is, a lot of people don't know who the author is. They may not come out. And so they kind of keep you in areas where you have a following. You know, so that because it's a very costly thing to do. So, I'm looking forward to going back out and doing it. I love that. I love it.
All right. Well, definitely, man. I'm definitely going to do my part in promoting your book. I'm one of the biggest promoters. Anybody who knows me on Facebook know I'm one of the biggest promoters on Facebook.
All right.
That's all I do. That's all I do. I get on people's nerves on Facebook, but that's my job.
You know what? But you know, I'm going to tell you something. Like, hey, let me say this to you, Todd, before you go. And you ought to be commended for a couple of reasons. I've never met you. This is our first time even having a conversation. But I can say this to you. You ought to be commended because a lot of people are so selfish in what they want to do for themselves that they're not trying to reach across and pull someone in. I will never be too big or successful to do your show if you ask me and the time permits, because I think what you're doing is you're spreading the word of these authors, these actors, these singers, these performers, these politicians, whoever you have on your show. So I really appreciate and I commend you for what you do and the way you're handling it. And I think if your listeners will also appreciate what you're doing. I was going to say thank you, because you could have had somebody else on here tonight. You could have said, I don't know him, you know, but you did. So I thank you.
Well, you know, I appreciate it. I appreciate the support. A lot of people don't honestly see that side of it. Like I said, I'm one of the biggest cross promoters on Facebook. I even had a thing I was doing called Cross Promotion Tuesdays, where I was just promoting other people's brands. Nobody does that for me. I don't trip on it.
Right,
but
right,
I just
right.
Think that if you have a good product, I'm not against putting it out there to the public, because I have turned on City of Indianapolis to a bunch of people that they didn't know about just because
that's
of
a
what
wonderful
I do.
Thing.
And so definitely, I do appreciate that. I do appreciate you coming on the show, and I definitely want you to come back so we can have another discussion about Hollywood. So you keep in touch with me.
I will,
TalkWithTaj.com. I'll definitely keep in touch with you. I'm going to go on Facebook tonight and add you. Like I said, keep me in mind, or, you know, if you need an extra little, you got an extra little role, try to get this acting thing going. You know, keep me in mind. I appreciate it.
All right, so hit me up and I'll definitely accept the friend request, and we're going to be talking.
Appreciate it, brother. Well, you have a good night out there. And like I said, definitely, you will see what I do on Facebook come tonight.
Okay. I appreciate it. And thank all your listeners for listening in, and hopefully they like what they heard, and then they'll stick with us. But thank you very much for that.
All right. Thank you. Hey, you know what? You wanted a good time, and we had it. So I told you.
We did, guys. We did.
All right. All right. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right, brother. Talk to you later.
All right. And for everybody else, I want to thank everybody for listening to another episode of Talk with Taj. And like I said, you know, support us, because everybody's out here trying to eat. If you have something, you know, if you have a good product out here, not be afraid to support the next person, because this is what we, the entertainment, this is the field that we're in. So definitely visit the official website, www.DonVWelchProductions.com. Pick up the new book In My Sister's House, and also pick up The Bachelorette Party. Also visit my website at www.TalkWithTaj.com and look at everything that I have going on there. We're going to add some new stuff to the website. Just got confirmed today. So taking over. The takeover has begun, all right? And I will be back out for those who live out in the L.A. area. I will be back out in L.A. in April. Probably won't make it next month, because I'm going to Atlanta. So every month I'm hitting the city up. So definitely catch me back out there. Keep in contact with me on Facebook. I always let everybody know where I'm going, what I'm doing. So always do that, please. Anybody, real quick. Hey, sorry about that. I just had some technical difficulties. But I forgot what I was just saying, too. So hit me up on Facebook. Hit me up on Twitter. Like I said, I'll be in L.A. in April, be in Atlanta next month. So definitely go to www.talkataj.com. All right? For upcoming producers, send me your tracks to TajLongino@gmail.com. All right, I'm looking for instrumentals for the new show, for the new season. So definitely send me your tracks, all promotional. This is not paid for materials, all promotional, all right? So, you know, send me a snippet of your stuff, and like I said, I will get back to you in a timely fashion. Any interview requests for the show, if you would like to be on Talk with Taj, send an email request to TajLongino@gmail.com. Matter of fact, just for all those questions, for anything you need, go to TalkWithTaj.com, all right? Hey, man, until next time on Talk with Taj, you know what to do. Make your next move your best move, and your best move your next move. Take care of one another out there. Good night. Until next time, God bless. Holla.
Talk with Todd Show.